visiting with us. We're so thankful to see you. We want you to know that you are our honored guest. You're very welcome, and we want to encourage you to come and be with us at every opportunity that you might have. Our purpose simply is to worship God, honor Him, the way He would have us to do so, according to His commands. My wife just took me aside a while ago, took my little back room back there, and says, "Are we alone? You got your mic turned off?" I'm afraid she'll say something to me, you know, when I have the mic turned on. She had some things to say to me, and then she says, remember, every lady's got something in the oven this morning. Watch the clock. Would you bow with me in prayer before we begin? Father, we're thankful for this time that we have to study Thy Word together. We are so thankful for Thy love and mercy, thankful for Thy Word which we come to study and look at this time. We ask, Father, that You'll bless us in our study of it. Help us that we might understand and make application to our lives. We know and recognize, Father, the importance of Thy Word and its light and guidance to us, that through it we might have hope and comfort and instruction. We're thankful that You loved us so much to give it to us, to guide us. We ask now that You'll forgive us of our sins and above all be with us at this time. It's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. In Old Testament time, toward the beginning of the Scriptures, and then once toward the middle of the Scriptures in the book of Proverbs, and then once to the very end, probably on the last page of your Bible as it is on mine, God has given warnings, admonitions about the keeping of His commands. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, near the beginning, He said, "You shall not add unto the words which I command you, neither shall ye diminish or take away from it, but ye shall keep the commands." In Proverbs 30 and verse 6, "Thou shalt not add unto His words, lest He reprove thee." In Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, "For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man add unto the words of this book, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." One of the things, therefore, we can see that God has tried to emphasize upon us throughout all periods of time is that we are not to add to, we're not to take from His word. We are commanded to be obedient unto it. There are a lot of people in our world today who are teaching different than that and who believe differently. There are a lot of people who think and who preach and practice that it really doesn't make any difference what one believes. And that's a philosophy that's known, I'm sure, to all of us. We see it every day, nearly. That it's not necessary to believe or practice most anything, really. You can believe whatever you want to. The people interpret the Scriptures differently, and it really doesn't matter about how you obey, just as long as you're honest and sincere. There are others who make statements such as this, that God is love, and He's merciful, and that He will not punish us, even though we may sin, even though we might disobey Him. God is forgiving and loving, and He will overlook and forgive all that we might do in disobedience to Him. Well, all of these statements have just a grain of truth in them, but they are not complete truths. And they're very deceptive teachings and ideas. I want us to look at some different examples that we have been given in the Scriptures. Does it really make any difference what one believes and what one practices? Is God going to forgive and overlook just any and every sin and mistake and disobedience that people make? And I don't know how to do this other than just look at some examples. You know, God's Word's given to us as a means of teaching us and instructing us as to how we are to live before Him and how He expects us to obey His Word. Let's go back to the very beginning. Let's look first at Genesis chapter 1. We read there of the creation of all things and how God created man and placed him here upon this earth. In Genesis chapter 2, we read of this creation, but then when we come down to chapter 3, we see how that God gave instructions to man. And he placed them in the Garden of Eden. And God had told them there that they could eat. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning verse 2, it says, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, nor shall ye touch it, lest ye die." We read here how that the serpent came to Adam and Eve, particularly speaking to Eve. And he says, God knows that the day you eat of this, your eyes are going to be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And said to the serpent, "You shall not die," in verse number 4. As a result of this, we know how that Eve listened to the serpent, listened to Satan instead of God, and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because of this disobedience, they were driven forth out of the garden. They brought sin and death into this world, suffering and pain, because of their disobedience. Did it make a difference to them? Was it any difference to them whether they obeyed God's commands or not? Of course it was it made a difference. Someone might say, well, it was just a slight disobedience in one little thing. But look at the sin and the suffering and the anguish and the death, the separation from God that it brought into the world because of their disobedience. It made a difference. In Genesis chapter 4, we read about two sons of Adam and Eve, whose names were Cain and Abel. We read there that in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not you be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Now, notice again here. These are typical of people today. Many times people come to worship today, just like these came to worship. One seems to worship according to what he thinks is right or what he feels is right and takes this position. Well, it really doesn't make any difference what one believes. Notice it says that the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Abel offered that which the Lord required. How do I know? Well, he just turns around and says to Cain, he said, if you did well, then you had been accepted. He didn't do well. He didn't do what the Lord wanted. Hebrews 11 and verse 4 says that by faith Abel offered unto Cain a more excellent sacrifice than did Abel, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. What does righteous mean? Righteous means doing that which is right. He obtained witness that he was righteous. He did well. He did what the Lord wanted and expected and commanded. But Cain did not. So the Lord says to Cain, what do you expect? If you do well, then you'll be accepted. He offered a more excellent sacrifice. It was the sacrifice the Lord wanted. Now, it made a difference here, didn't it? And the Lord wasn't just merciful and forgive him. It made a difference. He didn't say to him, well, it didn't really make any difference that you didn't offer what I wanted or how I wanted it offered. It made a difference. He said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If you do right, you'll be accepted. God wants the best for us. And he wants to be honored with the best. And the best is what he's commanded. He's not going to accept some inferior type of worship or service or honoring of him. He wants what he has commanded. Well, after this, we read in Genesis chapter 6 of some instructions given to a man by the name of Noah, because the record says there in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5 that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. That made a difference here, didn't it? People became wicked. Their thoughts of their hearts were evil continually. So he tells Noah, excuse me, end of all flesh has come before me. Going to destroy the earth with a flood. Noah found grace, it says, in the eyes of the Lord. So he gave instructions to build the ark. It says of Noah in the ninth verse that Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Why was Noah spared in this flood? Because he was a just man. What does just mean? Righteous, doing that which is just, fair. He was a just man. Over in 2 Peter 2 in verse number 5, Peter speaks of him as a preacher of righteousness. Noah, a preacher of righteousness. He preached that which right, doing that which pleased God, that which was right. And because of this, he was given instructions from God to build the ark. He was saved. He and his three sons and all their wives were saved. Did it make a difference to them whether they obeyed God or not? It made a difference, didn't it? Noah built this ark. Chapter 6, verse 22 says that he did all according as God commanded him. So he did. Again and again it's emphasized here. Chapter 7 and verse 5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. He was just. He was righteous. He walked with God. He did what God told him to do. Yes, it makes a difference what we believe and what we practice. He didn't deviate from it. Well, there are many examples we can look at. I'm skipping over now to the time after the law of Moses was given. In Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus, we have some examples of two of the sons of Levi, of Aaron. They were a tribe of Levi. They were sons of Aaron. Aaron was the first high priest whenever the law of Moses was given. And God established the worship and the tabernacle under that law of Moses. Then the tribe of Levi was set aside to officiate at the tabernacle, and later they did at the temple, who to be the priests. And Aaron was the first high priest. And two of his sons, by the name of Nadab and Abihu, are spoken of in Leviticus chapter 10. And there we can have another example that we can look at to see whether it's important or not that we obey God and do what he says. Reading from verse number 1, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and put incense on it. They were putting a fire in the incense altar and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them, is the wording of the King James. The old King James says they offered strange fire, which the Lord had not commanded. The Lord had not commanded this. Their job was to put the fire in the incense altar. But they obtained profane or strange fire. It wasn't the fire the Lord commanded, which he had not commanded them. It was fire. You know, another thing about all these people here, as they come to worship God, just like Cain and Abel, they both come to worship God, didn't they? All worship the same God. You know, people say that today. Just so you worship God, just so you believe in Jesus Christ, we all worship the same God. So it doesn't matter. Well, it did in the case of Cain and Abel, didn't it? They both worshiped God. God expects us to worship by what He's told us, the way He's told us. Well, let's look more about this one. It's going to make a difference in this case, too. Because they offer this strange fire which God has not commanded. Verse 2 says, so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spake, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. Now, Aaron was upset. These were his two sons that had been put to death. Now, that last phrase says, so he held his peace. He was upset because his sons had been put to death, and they were offering the bringing the fire just like the Lord had told them to, except they got fire from the wrong place, the wrong fire, strange fire, which he had not commanded. And so Moses explains to Aaron, he says, is this what the Lord meant whenever he said that I must be regarded as holy? He says, and the Lord said, before all the people, I must be glorified. They had failed to do what God told them to do. When we fail to do what God tells us to do, we don't glorify God. We don't regard Him as holy. When people say it doesn't make any difference how you worship, they're saying, well, the way I think is all right, it's just as the way you think is all right, and that's true. But it's not an equal with what God is said to do. When God tells us how to worship, what He expects in worship, then we glorify Him. We honor Him by doing what He commands us to do. And if we're talking about what I would like in worship or what you like in worship or somebody else likes in worship, well, it doesn't matter about those things. They're not any different. They're all man-made ideas. But if we're going to worship the true God and we're going to honor Him and glorify Him, then we must worship in the way that He has told us to do. And if we go doing things which He has not commanded, just like these priests did, then we can become just as guilty as they. It does matter how we worship God. It made a difference in this case. Now they were worshiping God. They were in His tabernacle. They had on the right clothing, the priests of the clothing of the priests that they were to wear. They did everything right except the strange fire which He had not commanded. That's the only thing that's mentioned. It makes a difference. Then there was another man whose name was Uzzah. That's an example of how important it is for us to obey God. You know who Uzzah was? You remember him? You can read about him over in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. When David was king of the nation of Israel, the Philistines had taken the Ark of the Covenant, which belonged in the tabernacle. And so David was trying to bring it back to where it belonged, back to Jerusalem. And so they had built an ox cart, and they had some new oxen that were pulling the cart, and they placed the Ark of the Covenant up on that. And we're transporting it back to Jerusalem. Well, the record says that whenever they come here to the threshing floor of Nacor, that the oxen stumbled, and the ark was about to fall off, and Uzzah put out his hand, 2 Samuel 6 and verse 6, and touched it, took hold of it to steady it. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. Why in the world did that happen to him? Because God had told him not to touch it. In this case, it made a difference whether he obeyed or not, because God struck him dead when he touched it, and God had told him he was not to touch it. Wasn't anybody supposed to touch it? In fact, you look back in Numbers chapter 4, about verse 15, you read some of the instructions there as to how they are to transport it. And it had nothing to do with placing it up on an ox cart or having ox to pull it. It was to be carried upon the shoulders of certain people. Rods were passed through, and that's the way they were to do it. And this whole scene was in disobedience to what God had told them to do when David was bringing it back. And finally, when this man put forth his hand and touched it, God expressed his anger then for their failing to disobey and honor him. And he died there. It made a difference to Uzzah. Now, you know, I'm sure Uzzah thought he was helping God. And we look at that and we probably think, well, God should have made an example, should have made an exception in that case, because he thought he was doing right. He probably did. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours. Doing right is obeying God, not what we think might be right. It was right for them to bring it back to Jerusalem. All of that was correct. But the way they were transporting it and the method being used was completely wrong and disobedient to what God had told them. And God says, I will be honored. I will be glorified. And when we fail to obey him and we take our own ways, we transport the ark or we worship the way that it pleases us or feels good to us that we enjoy, we have not honored God when he's told us how that he wants it done. We must honor, we must glorify him. Over in Exodus chapter 17, verse number 6, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, there's another example we can look at. And they were without water on one occasion. God told Moses the way he was to provide water. He says, thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Water came out. They all drank. They did what God told them to do. They received favor and blessings from God. That's the way it always works. Whenever we honor him and do what he tells us, then he blesses. But later on, over in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, they're again without water. And so Moses prays to the Lord. Moses is told by the Lord that he's to assemble the congregation before this, the rock. And he is to speak to the rock. Now notice the difference. First time he said, you shall strike the rock and it'll bring out water. Now on this later occasion, he says, you speak to the rock and it will provide water for you. That's in Numbers 20 and verse 8. He says, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. And so Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said to them, here now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Water came out abundantly, and the congregation, their animals, drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. And because of this disobedience, Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land. Now let's notice this. On the first occasion, he told him to strike it. Now he tells him to speak to it, and he strikes it. He changed the instructions. And he says to him, because you did not believe me. When we don't do what God commands us to do, it indicates a lack of belief. It means we don't really trust Him. You know, if your child comes to you and asks you about doing such and such, and you tell him, well, what you need to do is this. Maybe you've been through the same situation, same circumstances, and the child wants to go this way and to do the thing, and you tell him, no, says, this is the way to go and to do it and to accomplish what you want to accomplish. And the child sets out to go this way, which they believe it. What does it mean? It means the child thinks he knows more than you, doesn't it? It means the child doesn't trust you. So God said to him, you speak to the rock. But he went and struck it. He became angry because the people were so rebellious. They'd been murmuring, complaining, and about not having water. So he struck it. And so God says, because you didn't believe in me to sanctify me, or to hallow me. What does that mean? Sanctify him, to hallow him. To treat him reverently, with respect. Whenever we fail to do what he tells us to do, then we do not respect him, we don't honor him, we don't sanctify him, we don't treat him as holy and reverent. Well, we could go on and on talking about such examples. In 1 Kings chapter 13, there's an example of a prophet that was sent to go and prophesy. He delivered his prophecy, and then he had been told by God, when you deliver that prophecy, then you return back home by another way, and you do not eat nor drink there. Well, there was someone asking him, says, the king, as a matter of fact, and the nation of Israel, says, come home with me. And he says, no, I've been told by God, I'm not to eat here, not to drink, and I'm returned home by another route. But these words were overheard by a couple of men who went home and told their father, who was also a prophet of God, an old prophet of God. This was a young prophet. And the old prophet went after this young prophet, and he said to him, he says, God's also spoke to me. I'm a prophet just like you are. God has also spoke to me, and he told me to come after you, to bring you back to my house, and you're to eat and drink at my house. But the record says, but he lied. He lied. The young prophet, however, believed him. He went back to his house. He ate and he drank with him, and then the word of the Lord came to him telling him that he was not going to return back home. And a lion met him in the way and killed him as he went on his way toward home because he disobeyed the word of the Lord. And you might begin to think, well, my, that seems awful harsh. He disobeyed God. He believed man. You can't believe what man says. You must go to God's word to find the truth. And I'm sure in his conscience, he probably believed that lie. He felt that he was, in his conscience, that he was doing right, but he was doing wrong. He had been told by God what he was to do. And he should not have doubted God's word. We can't live in the past by former instructions given to people in the past. We got to live under the new covenant today. Worship how God has told us today. We could go on and on multiplying such examples. But I remember that there's things in the oven. So I guess we must stop. But people are going to say, you know, someone's going to say, well, those are all Old Testament examples. Today we live under the New Covenant. My friends, look at Romans 15 and verse 4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 11. Says, now these things happened unto them. Talking about the children of Israel. Now these things happened unto them by way of examples. And they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Does God expect us to obey today? He certainly does. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 7 and 8. The Apostle Paul says, to you who are afflicted, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, when he comes back again with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who obey not the gospel. The gospel is to be obeyed. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians there, found out that they were trying to go back and live under the law of Moses to a certain degree and to keep that law. He says to them, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. Which is not another, he says, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But even though we are an angel from heaven, he says, preach unto you any other gospel than that which has been preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Now, all they were doing was that they had changed. They were requiring people to be circumcised to keep a certain part of the law of Moses in Old Testament time. And he says, it's not really another gospel they're preaching to you. It's just that they have perverted it a little bit, changed the gospel of Christ. People today would say, well, it really doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter what you believe, what you practice. It does matter. This is our point. We've seen it from what God Word says, and from these examples, we are to be obedient unto him. Jesus said, not everyone, Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who's in heaven. He's saying it's not enough just to make a profession. Lord, Lord, recognize with your mouth that he's Lord, Lord. And you make this profession that I believe Jesus Christ, not enough. But salvation is to those who do the will of my Father who's in heaven. And then one other passage in New Testament time that we might see that these principles apply there. Excuse me. Jesus himself said, Matthew chapter 15, he says, these people draw nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. It does matter. We can't teach the commandments of men. Our worship can be vain if it's not according to his instructions. If we just come to him with our lips and our mouth and we make a profession, but our heart is not in it, and our heart's not in it if we're not seeking to do what he wants us to do. We're not really honoring him. That's what we've seen. If we don't try to do it the way he told us to do, it is necessary to render obedience unto him. But somebody's going to say, well, what about all this mercy and grace and forgiveness? Luke chapter 1 and verse 50 says that mercy is shown to those who fear him. And you can go all the way back to the giving of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6. God says that he was merciful and kind God, showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Mercy and kindness and forgiveness is not going to be shown to everybody, no matter how that we worship or whether we honor God or not. Mercy and kindness is shown to those who fear God, who love him and keep his commandments. But those who not are going to find themselves cast out, where he says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to end up in that place. Or Revelation 20 and verse 10 speaks about those who will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That'll be with the devil and his angels, because they did not honor God and did not keep his commandments. Obedience, my friend, to the Lord is what he expects of us. He wants us to live righteous lives and do that which he told us to do. Honor him. Be faithful to him. Are you doing that this morning? If you are a Christian, and seek to know more of his will and be ever more obedient. If you're not a Christian, then will you not render obedience the way he has told us in his scriptures? going to have time to do that, but we have a pattern for that too this morning. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ. You're going to have to repent of your sins. You need to confess faith in Christ and be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ and arise to walk in newness of life. You're subject to that invitation if you need to render that obedience to the Lord. Will you not do it while we stand and while we sing?